know what's so hard about finding songs about a head foot washer. I mean, it just looks like that'd be easy to me, but sorry for the difficulty there. We're glad that you're here today. We do have a number of visitors, and we're very thankful for each and every one. I know the Bakers have their son here. Marla's got a lot of her family here. And we just happened to find the Saligas on the side of the road. No, actually, they were just here, and we didn't know they were going to be here. Tom and Jan Saliga, we've known them from Tyler a number of years ago. So we're glad that they were able to be here. They both just retired and are beginning to travel. So we're glad for them. We had a good trip to Arizona. It was a quick trip, but we were glad that we were able to go. And I did fly okay. Everything went all right with the flying. I'm not a real fan of flying, but everything went very well with that. Have you ever allowed someone to wash your feet? You may have. I don't like for anybody to mess with my feet personally. But have you ever offered to wash someone else's feet? Washing someone's feet or someone washing your feet could leave you with an uncomfortable feeling. You don't want someone messing with your feet normally. And you certainly don't want to mess with someone else's feet. But if you do need your feet washed and you're unable to wash them, who would you allow to wash them? Let me attempt to answer that question by asking another question. Would you feel more comfortable if the person washing your feet is someone regarded as important? Or would you feel more comfortable if someone less significant washed your feet? It seems to me that the more significant the person, the more uncomfortable you would be. And maybe the less significant person, the more comfortable you would be. The reason I say that is, generally speaking, washing feet is a lowly task for which few people are waiting in line to do. Have you ever noticed a job that needed to be done, but you left it for someone else to do? Have you ever felt that you were too good to do a particular job at work, at home, or at church? Have you ever had an argument with someone and refused to do what you knew you should do because you did not want that person to perceive you as giving in or submitting yourself to him or her? Jesus' followers sometimes argued about who was the greatest in the kingdom of God. And when they did, Jesus stressed that the kingdom of God is different from worldly kingdoms. In worldly kingdoms, masters are regarded as the greatest. But in the kingdom of God, Jesus declared and demonstrated that servants are regarded as the greatest. I believe that the events in today's text are graphic illustrations of this divine principle. If you want to look in your Bibles, the text will be John 13, beginning in verse 1 through verse 16. John 13, beginning in verse 1 through verse 16. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God. Got up from supper, laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter, and he said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." And Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew the one who was betraying him. And for this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him." These events took place during the week of the Feast of the Passover. We talked about the Passover last Sunday morning. This supper was on the Thursday evening before Jesus was crucified on Friday. The Passover was the Jewish feast when they commemorated the Lord passing over the homes, of their ancestors, who applied the blood of an unblemished lamb to their doorpost. And on the day following this Passover supper, the blood of the sinless lamb would be shed for all humanity. Jesus was fully aware that it was his time for him to return to his heavenly home. And our text says that Jesus loved his own even to the end, verse 1. And you certainly get the impression that his own that he's referring to here also included Judas Iscariot. Now the Lord knew everything that Judas was plotting, even as he knows everything about you and everything about me. And although the devil put betrayal into Judas's heart, that traitor was individually responsible for making his deadly choice. Even as Satan puts temptations in our way, and we are responsible whether we submit to those temptations or flee from those temptations. Don't miss the significance of verse 3, where it says, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God." A similar phrase is used in John chapter 3 and verse 35. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Jesus knew who he was. He knew that he was the only begotten Son of God. He knew that he was God in the flesh. He knew that he was the Christ. He knew that he was the Messiah. And because Jesus knew who he was, he was willing to do what he did. People who are secure and confident about themselves usually make great servants. But people who are insecure and uncertain about their identities usually make lousy servants. What Jesus did obviously made an indelible impression on John, even as it does on us today. Notice the graphic way in which he described each movement of the Lord in verse 4 and 5. He got up from supper, laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. And then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. The anointed one of God took off his inner garment, and he looked and acted like a lowly servant. The disciples, who earlier had argued about the greatest in the kingdom, witnessed him. And there was only one servant in that room that night, and he was their master. They were dumbfounded. Servants wash feet. Occasionally, a disciple of a rabbi would wash his teacher's feet. But a master never washed his own servant's feet. They were embarrassed. They should have done what their master was doing. Surely out of 11, discounting Judas, surely one of them thought that they should be washing their master's feet before Jesus did this. But they didn't. I wonder how many times we know of things that we can do or that we should do, and yet we wait for someone else to do it. And oftentimes we may be embarrassed because someone else who may not be as capable or may not be as young as we are or may not have the ability that we do to do those tasks, and yet we wait and let someone else do it for us. I believe there's a great example of this coming Lord's Day on our Friends' Day. We have a tremendous opportunity to reach out to other people and to invite them. And truly it is the responsibility of each one of us to do that very thing. And I wonder, though, how many will let someone else do the job? I wonder how many will let someone else clean up the building. I wonder how many of us would let someone else make the phone calls to invite others to come. So often we don't do the things that we need to do and that we should do and that we're capable of doing, but we let someone else do it for us. I'm really looking forward to next Sunday. I really believe that we're going to have a great crowd And this is not to please us, and this is not for our numbers, as was stated in the prayer earlier. This is to bring glory to God. And if we can bring glory to God by bringing other people into this worship service and they can hear about the love of God, then we've done our task. But if we wait for someone else to do it, we've not done our task. You know, this whole thing with washing feet was more than Peter could take. We know from his personality, and you probably know people like that if you're not like that yourself. He had to say something. But Peter stuck his foot in his mouth once again, in an attempt to project himself as a servant of our Lord. Peter again played the part of the master. He tried to dictate to Jesus what he should do or should not do. I wonder if we've ever done that. I wonder if we've ever told the Lord that he should do something this way or that way instead of listening to what the Lord tells us to do. One person put it this way, that Peter is humble enough to see the incongruity of Christ's action, yet proud enough to dictate to his master. Jesus informed Peter that he was not to question the Lord, and neither are we to question the Lord. His role was simply to submit to the will of the Lord. Oh, how we need to learn that lesson and learn it well. It's a lesson that is imperative for us to learn today, that we are not in that do-it-for-me generation. We are to be a people, no matter how old or how young we are, that we want to do what God tells us to do. Peter did it again. If washing his feet was essential, then he demanded that the Lord give him a complete bath. Jesus said that that just wasn't necessary. He bent down and cleaned the feet of all 12 apostles. I can't help but wonder, what did Jesus think when he cleaned Judas's feet? He knew. He knew exactly what Judas was doing. I can only imagine what I would think. But our Lord cleaned his feet anyway. Jesus informed them that clean feet was not the same as clean hearts and clean consciences. And Jesus could provide both for them. And he did for the 11 who wanted to be cleansed from the inside out. Martin Luther once said, "It is not the imitation that makes sons, it's sonship that makes imitators." If we are truly disciples of Jesus Christ, we're going to imitate what our Lord did. I certainly don't think that we have to wash one another's feet in order to show servanthood. He said, "This is an example for you. You're to do as I did. You're to be servants to one another and not masters to each other." Notice what Jesus said in verse 7. "What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand later." Washing their feet was nothing compared to what he was going to do the very next day. Washing feet is a true sign of servanthood. But a master dying on a cross to save his own servants from spiritual death is servanthood taken to the ultimate. And certainly if Jesus, our Lord, the very Son of God, was willing to do that, then we must be willing to be servants today as well. In Philippians, the second chapter, beginning in verse 5, Paul wrote, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped or held on to, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." He didn't just wash the disciples' feet, but he died on the cross for you and for me. Jesus asked them if they understood the significance of what he did. He said, "I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Have you noticed that very few people are applying for the job of head foot washer? You know, the competition is intense for good jobs in the marketplace, but the lines are not long, and the competition is minimal for jobs as servants in the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master. Neither is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If the Lord and the master of the universe subjected himself to the lowliest job known to mankind, shouldn't we be willing to follow his example?" There may be some in this audience this morning who need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ. And if you do need those prayers, then we encourage you to ask for those prayers and we will pray with you. If there's someone here this morning that needs to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, we hope that you will not put this off. We hope that you will do that today. Be a servant as the Lord was a servant. Won't you come while we stand and sing?